home run of your life.
Fly ball deep left center. Grissom.
Ball game over. World Series.
A World Series win.
Game over. In baseball, heroes are measured by their accomplishments on the field. In the game of life, they are measured by their selflessness and integrity of their actions. Umpire Steve Palermo distinguished himself in both. I'm Nina Instead, and this is Deadball. Stephen Michael Palermo was born October 9, 1949, in suburban Boston, Massachusetts, to parents Angela and Vincent. His father was a school principal, and his mother stayed home to care for the couple's many children. Stephen was one of six kids. When Stephen was in grade school, the family moved to be closer to his father's job. This took them far from Boston to the small community of Oxford. The Palermos were a large, happy Italian family. Steve had two sisters and three brothers. His sisters Linda and Anne and his brother Jim would become teachers. His brothers Michael and Joe would grow up to become investment bankers. Steve also planned on becoming a teacher, but he would grow up to be a major league umpire instead. Both Palermo parents urged the children to participate in sports. Stephen's sister Linda was a very good athlete, and she played both basketball and softball. Steve played Little League, Babe Ruth League, high school ball, American Legion, and even some baseball and basketball while a student at Norwich High School. He was really drawn to basketball, but he also enjoyed baseball. He started out playing shortstop and second base, but his coaches encouraged him to try different positions. They wanted to see what worked best for Steve. And his entire family supported New England sports teams. Steve and his sisters were hockey fans, and several times a year they made their way to the city to watch the Boston Bruins play. Steve, who liked basketball, he followed the Boston Celtics, a team that won 11 championships as he was growing up. But Steve's real passion was baseball and the Boston Red Sox. Steve followed every game on TV and radio. When the Red Sox were playing out west, Steve would fall asleep with a transistor radio tucked under his pillow, listening to the game. Several times each summer, the whole family would attend games at Fenway Park. Steve would later say that the collapse of the 67 Red Sox team was one of the saddest days he could recall growing up. When Steve was 13, he got his first paying job as an umpire. Steve had aged out of playing Little League, but he was offered an opportunity to umpire in the league. He earned $2 a game and worked Monday through Saturday. Steve was happy to take the job. He enjoyed spending his time on the field, and he liked the idea of having his own pocket money. His family, they weren't poor, but they weren't well off either. The money he brought in from his work as an umpire helped. When he turned 16, he took construction jobs and gave some of each paycheck to his parents. And he did this while still setting aside money for college tuition. As his father was a school principal, Steve decided that he, too, would go into teaching. And even when he was busy with school or working construction, Steve still chose to work as an umpire at local Little League games. Steve did this as much for fun as for the few dollars he earned. In the summer of 1969, just a couple of months before he turned 18, he was calling a game that was attended by Barney Deary, administrator of Baseball Umpire Development. Deary was in town to look at a couple of umpires. He liked Steve, and he handed him a business card. He told the teenager that if he was interested in umpiring professionally, he should give him a call. Steve thought this offer was intriguing, but he didn't do anything with it. In fact, the card sat in his room for 2 years while Steve took college courses and planned for his future. But college was not what Steve had hoped for. He was academically successful, but he didn't feel excited about his coursework or about his future plans. In his room, he saw Barney Deary's card. And Steve made a call. Then he sat down with his parents and explained that he was dropping out of college because he was going to be a professional umpire. Angela and Vincent Palermo were not thrilled with this decision. They wanted Steve to choose something stable, something reliable, and they did not see umpiring as being either of those. Steve asked them to give him a chance, and they reluctantly agreed to go along with his decision. Now, listeners, there are professional umpires making a decent living officiating at minor league games, but Steve, he wanted to work in the majors. Before he could make that dream a reality, he had to go through training. In 1971, Steve registered for umpire school in Florida. This was a newer program, but it was supposed to be the key to getting the work that he wanted as an umpire. Steve used some of the college funds he'd set aside to finance the trip and the training. Once he'd completed the 7-week course, job offers started to appear. In the spring of 1972, he was working Major League Exhibition games. He was assigned to work Cincinnati Reds games at their winter home near Tampa Bay, Florida. The umpire class of 1972 would produce 5 Major League umpires. The list includes Eddie Monahue, Durwood Merrill, Mike Riley, Al Clark, and of course, Steve Palermo. After spring training, Steve worked for a couple of months in a spring rookie league in Florida, and then he was assigned to the New York Penn League starting in June. He worked the season, then went to the Florida Instructional League in mid-September for a couple of months. Steve's first season as an umpire was a success. He developed a reputation as a hard worker who wanted to improve his skills. When he wasn't working, he sought out professional veteran umpires like Frank Pulley, John McSherry, and Rich Garcia. He asked them his many questions and learned what he could to make himself better at the job. Steve started the 1973 season in Low A Ball League in the Carolina League. Halfway through the season, Steve was promoted to High A Ball in the Eastern League. Steve would spend 18 months in the Eastern League. After that, he was assigned to the American Association. And each of these steps, they put him on a path to working in the big leagues. Each of these steps put him closer to his goal. And in 1973, this was about the time he met the woman who would become his first wife, Andrea Lee Giannata. Giannata was a flight attendant that he met while traveling for work. And in October 1975, the two were married. Steve worked the AA for the 1975 and 76 seasons and the beginning of 1977. In 1976, Steve worked the AAA playoffs, and a little while after his postseason was done, he got a call asking if he could come to Boston for a meeting. Steve's appointment in Boston was with Dick Butler. Butler was supervisor of umpires in the American League. Butler told Steve that the American League had picked up his option. Steve Palermo was being called to the major leagues. Steve would learn later that both the American and National Leagues were interested in bringing him up to the majors in 1976, but the American League made the first move and they picked him up. Steve worked a few games in 76 and then was signed to a league contract starting in 1977. And listeners, there are some things you may not realize about working as a professional umpire. Most umpires never make it to the majors, and for those who do, it's usually a long grind to the top of the profession. More than a decade of paying dues in the minors before you're even considered for the big league. According to MLB.com, there are only 70 major league umpires, and they work in 17 crews of 4. Plus, there are 2 roaming alternates. In 2020, the top-paid umpires will bring home close to $350,000 a year, while those just starting out in the majors might earn closer to $125,000 a year. And this is for working from preseason through postseason games. Something else to keep in mind? There are no home games for umpires. Also, they are constantly being scrutinized and evaluated. Not just by the fans either, but by both teams and the press. Steve Palermo being called up at the age of 26 is almost unheard of. Remember, most major league umpires don't make it to the majors until they are in their mid to late 30s. After getting some experience at the end of 1976, Steve Palermo worked as a major league umpire full-time for more than a decade, from 1977 into 1991. And probably the most memorable game that he officiated was the one-game playoff in 1978 between the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox. The Yankees and the Red Sox had been going back and forth battling all through the 78 season. And when the season concluded, the two teams had identical records of 100 wins and 63 losses. The American League Eastern Division would be decided by a one-game playoff to be held at Fenway Park on October 2, 1978. Steve was assigned to work third base during the game. Steve invited his father and brother, who, like Steve, were long-suffering Red Sox fans. The playoff game would later be referred to as the Bucky Dent, or, more precisely, the Bucky fucking Dent, after the Yankee shortstop whose wholly unexpected three-run homer in the top of the seventh carried the day for the Yankees and gave them the American League East title. Steve was the third base umpire, and that meant he's the one who called the ball fair and signaled that it was a home run. Here he is, umpiring a game at Fenway Park, and he had to make a call that would send Red Sox fans into a long, cold winter. For Steve and his family, it was 1967 all over again. Fortunately for Steve, it was not a close call. The ball landed over the green monster, 8 to 10 feet fair. It was an easy call for him to make. On the way home, Steve's father was silent for 20 minutes when he blurted out, "Couldn't you have called it foul, Steve?" His father was, of course, joking. Steve made the right call on the play, even though it meant another heartbreaking loss for his favorite team. And there would be more exciting games to come. Playoff games and World Series games. Another highlight of Steve's career came when he was umpiring another game between the New York Yankees and his beloved Boston Red Sox. This game took place on July 4, 1983. A crowd of 42,000 people were on hand at Yankee Stadium for the game. Steve was behind the plate and called Dave Righetti's no-hitter. 1983 was also the year that Steve and his first wife, Andrea, divorced. In 1985, Steve remarried, this time to a woman named Debbie Aaron. For 14 years, Steve served as an umpire in the major leagues. He worked a total of 1,871 regular season games, and he was considered by many to be the best umpire in the game, consistent and fair. And while it certainly wasn't planned, Steve Palermo's last game as an umpire was July 6, 1991, at Arlington Stadium in Texas. The Rangers beat the Angels 4-3, and after the game, Steve stopped by to have dinner at Quirky Campisi's restaurant before returning to his hotel. As Steve was arriving at the restaurant, a couple of the waitresses were leaving. It was the end of their shift. And a moment later, another restaurant employee shouted that the waitresses were in trouble. The two young women had been beaten to the ground in a purse-snatching attempt. Steve and former Miami Dolphins football player Terrence Mann, someone that Steve did not know prior to engaging with him at the restaurant, they ran outside and ended up chasing and catching one of the thieves. But there was a man driving their getaway car who circled back, and this man pulled out a gun. He fired 5 shots. Hitting both Mann and Palermo. The first 3 bullets hit Mann, one in the throat that entered and exited from right to left. The second bullet struck him in the bicep of his right arm, and the third lodged in his thigh. The 4th bullet missed both men and hit a brick wall. The 5th bullet, it struck Steve at waist level, and it took a path through his body. It hit his left kidney and bounced off the kidney, traveling through his abdomen, striking Steve's spinal cord and exiting the left side of his body. It hit what they call the cauda equina, a bundle of nerves that exit your spinal cord and send impulses to the muscles in your lower extremities. While paramedics arrived quickly to attend to the wounded men, There was nothing that could be done. Stephen Palermo would be left paralyzed by the gunshot. Mann, the one-time NFL player and former standout at Southern Methodist University, would make a complete recovery. The police were summoned as the two men went outside to look for the men who had assaulted the waitresses, so the criminals, including the shooter, were taken into custody and later prosecuted for the events of that evening. Steve was treated at Parkland Hospital in Dallas, the same hospital to which President John F. Kennedy had been taken after he was shot. He would have a long, difficult, and never-ending rehabilitation from his injuries. Doctors told Steve's wife Debbie that the prognosis was not good and that her husband would never walk again. But the doctors did not know Steve Palermo, and they didn't know how determined he could be. The next few years marked a long and challenging period in Steve's life. He could no longer work as an umpire, a career he had pursued and enjoyed. Steve and his wife relocated to Kansas City, where Steve went through extensive rehabilitation. He made a great deal of progress, but he would remain paralyzed from the waist down for the rest of his life. Steve threw the ceremonial first pitch in Game 1 of the 1991 World Series, only 3 months after being shot. He walked out onto the field with the assistance of crutches and leg braces. While he appreciated the support, and he enjoyed being back on the field, his heart was heavy. Steve knew he would never be capable of umpiring a major league game ever again. From 1995 to 1997, Steve worked part-time as an analyst for Yankees games on MSG Network. If you were wondering, MSG stands for Madison Square Garden. And while it wasn't the same as being down on the field making calls, Steve was thrilled to once again be connected to the game that he loved. Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig named Steve as a special assistant in 1994, and in 2000 elevated him as a supervisor of umpiring for the league. Steve became a mentor to young umpires and helped them become better professionals. He would do this work, and do it well, for many years. Unfortunately, Steve's health struggles would continue. In August of 2015, Steve was diagnosed with lung cancer. Despite a grim prognosis, Steve remained upbeat. When he was able, Steve visited children who, like him, were struggling with cancer. One of the last things that Steve did before he died was give hope to cancer-stricken children. And after a long battle against cancer, Steve Palermo died on May 14, 2017. He was 67 years old and survived by his wife, Debbie. The Dead Ball Podcast is created by Tim Scott. This week's episode was written by me, Nina Instead, and Tim Scott. Chuck Walters is our technical consultant and audio editor. If you're enjoying the podcast, please take a moment to leave a rating or review on your favorite podcatcher. This helps other baseball lovers find the show and the stories shared here. To learn more about Deadball or to talk with like-minded baseball fans, join the Deadball discussion group on Facebook.